Mervyn Hanley will inspire. Mervyn Hanley will empower. A voice powerful beyond measure. He will keep us strong under pressure. Touching the hearts and souls of family. You will hear his voice through your tragedy. Television, online and overseas. Tune in to Mervyn Hanley.
It is the 7th of July. Good evening and welcome to another edition of The Blue Table with Mervyn Hanley and Rohan Isles. We're here for the next 10, 15 minutes or so to discuss what's happening in and around the Caribbean, in and around the world, and to give you that latest information and to talk the news, to discuss what's going on in our islands. If you have not done so already, I'm asking you to download the app. Just search your App Store, your Google Play Store, and to type in The Blue Table with Mervyn Hanley. And go ahead and download the app. But before we get into the discussions today, because it is a sad day throughout the Caribbean with what's happening there in Haiti and other places, let's hear from the Anchor Podcast and also the Development Bank of St. Kitts and Nevis. And we'll be back to discuss the news right after this.
They make it party yes, they been working out for you and for me. Been dancing our dreams, providing loans for our families. Development Bank is the business day for we. Party as a commitment, providing loans and development for communities, yeah. Development Bank is working for me. Sustaining a positive nation for you and I. Development Bank is working for we. Development Bank is working for we.
Celebrated 40 years of Development Bank of St. Kitts and Nevis.
Mervyn Hanley will inspire. Mervyn Hanley will empower. A voice powerful beyond measure. He will keep us strong under pressure. Touching the hearts and souls of family. You will hear his voice through your tragedy. Television, online and overseas.
And we're back. Good evening to you, Rohan. How are you doing this evening?
Good evening, brother. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I am good. I am, you know, under the circumstances. But, you know, the circumstances being that this morning we woke up to the tragic news of the assassination of Haiti's president. Of course, I do not know him personally, but when you follow, if someone follows the news like us and the interactions with CARICOM and all of that, he would have played an integral role, an integral part, Haiti and him as the president and his presentations. I would listen to and go over and try to decipher and all of that. And today we hear that the man has been assassinated. His wife injured in the attack. She got some shots as well, and she's hospitalized. This is a stain. This, in my mind, in my opinion, this heinous act is a stain on Haiti and a sorrowful time for the region, a sorrowful time for CARICOM. And Haiti has been, as we know it, some instability there and all of that, and this now will just in my mind, Rohan, will create chaos and confusion in this territory. Your thoughts?
It's the Caribbean region continues to, you know, as it were, try to find out as much information as it can regarding the assassination of President Moïse. You know, Haiti, of course, being the oldest democracy within the region, gaining its full sovereignty in 1804. It has had a very long and trying history. Of course, those people who follow their history well would know that Haiti has had many challenges politically, from coups to military leadership, to leaders not wanting to leave office.
To disasters, to natural disasters.
Natural disasters, especially the one of 2010. So they have had periods of political instability. They have had issues of corruption and political violence, and it has led, in a sense, the political paralysis has led, in a sense, to oftentimes chaos and and instability within the framework of Haiti's governance. One of the things that is, you know, so prevalent when people talk about Haiti is poverty.
Mm-hmm.
Rampant poverty. I know in one presentation he would have mentioned that some almost 3 million people there are on the poverty line. And so we know the history of Haiti. When he took office, I think he would have taken office some 14 months after the elections in Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
Because he faced an indictment of some electoral misgivings.
Yes.
And he wasn't able to take office until 2017. And for that period of time, he led a country with no parliament. There was no Senate because later on in his leadership, there was a disagreement between him and the opposition as to when he took office.
Mm-hmm.
And that led to parliament and Senate being disbanded. And so he would have been there for quite a while without the governing body, which is the parliament, you know, to give him whatever assistance he would have needed. And then I think coming to the end of his term, I think he would have stayed longer than his term would have passed on. I'm not sure. I think from what I understand, he was trying to stabilize the country in the face of COVID-19 and so on. And, you know, it gave rise to an unfortunate situation because in having to deal with COVID, out of that came this guy known as Barbecue.
Yes.
A notorious gang leader there. I think it's Jimmy Cherizier is his name. Johnny Cherizier or something like that. Cherizier, I know for sure, is his last name. And he, in a sense, you know, seeing the chaos in the country, would have said to poor people in Haiti, listen, the monies that are in the banks and the shops and the stores, it belongs to you. Go and get it. So you would have had, you know, the mental, physical, social, economic struggles of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
The government being paralyzed, not being able to respond to poor people's needs as they would want to. And then this guy is saying to people who are already down and out on their luck, listen, if you guys want money, they're in the banks, in the stores, in wherever they are, it is your money, go get it. So Haiti was really the last year and a half, really in a very difficult position. And until we know for sure what would have caused the assassination of President Moïse, it's just trouble on top of trouble, because now you have Haiti will descend, whether we're hoping it wouldn't, but I mean, from history we would see that when you have these kind of things, chaos will ensue.
I also believe, well, I'm jumping the gun here, but I'm also believe that if his wife survives this, that she will continue in terms of in trying to be in his footsteps, and she'll run for office. She will run for president.
Yeah, I mean, that has happened in other situations. I think even before that, you know, getting stable, I think she's going to spend some time outside of Haiti. Of course, you having to deal with the assassination of your husband, you may want to ensure your safety first and foremost. But it is unfortunate. I don't think I've in my short time here now that I've ever heard of a regional leader being assassinated.
And I was getting to that, but before I get to that, where were his bodyguards? What about all of his security? Where are they? Where were they? I mean, this happened just after 1-2 o'clock in the morning. Where were they? What is that?
Yeah, valid question. High-ranking official, of course, he's the head of state, he's the Republic of Haiti. And so one would expect that his security detail is always present and always ready. And we haven't heard of anybody else dying.
Yes, and that struck me. That struck me, because we haven't heard, okay, six, because obviously if you're trying to get past the guardsmen, You have to shoot them to get to the president, right?
Yep.
But we are not hearing about some big breakout of shooting here, there, and everywhere.
It'll be good to get more information. I am not sure if he was staying at the presidential palace or if he was staying at his residence prior to becoming president and you know all that. But you that's a valid point you're making. He has security detail, he has bodyguard. To get past them without any one of them being casualties of the assassination, you know, leaves a lot to be desired and a lot to answer to. And it's really sad though. I mean, I think, you know, people supporting would probably be saying, listen, why not just do a coup? Mm-hmm. You've done it before. You have overtaken governments by military before. Why is there a need to assassinate him? I mean, yes, people are going to say he was involved in corruption and all kind of things. Of course, you know, he was accused of fraud and corruption. He was accused of he was indicted and graft regarding some finances from Venezuela. So people are going to say, you know, as is the case in all of these things, he wasn't this and he wasn't that. But Haiti being a democratic state, there are means and ways of dealing with issues like these. And
the witnesses or whatever tapes they have, they're stating that the guys in their gears, they spoke Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that means, whatever that is worth.
Well, that is a different thing. I think most of us know there have been a long-standing border rift between their neighbor, Dominican Republic.
Mm-hmm.
They speak Spanish. I'm not saying it's somebody from the Dominican Republic, but their neighbor's native language is Spanish. I mean, it's interesting because I did hear in one report that I don't know how accurate this is, that they spoke English.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're saying that another report is saying that they spoke Spanish. So, I mean, as the days go on, it would be interesting to find out, get more details as to what happened in the wee hours of this morning, and people can get a clearer picture and a clearer understanding of what is happening. As of now, the leadership of Haiti falls to its prime minister, and he has called for calm. I don't know how much of that will resonate with the people of Haiti, especially those who supported the president.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is something. And you mentioned earlier that this is the first in your years that, of living, as far as you know, that this has happened in the Caribbean region. And what I'm going to say is that this should never, ever, never, even close, happen again. Anywhere in the Caribbean. And that is why sometimes, Rohan, I cringe at our politics in the Caribbean, because it has gone from disagreeing and then probably have a drink later with the person you disagreed with. And now the kind of hate and the passion of that hatred and just because you disagree with someone politically. Sometimes I have thought about it, like, my goodness, these people would kill you just because you support someone else. But not only that, the way they speak about the leaders, supporters, even on social media, and they're so blatant with it. You read their posts and the anger, vitriol, the anger and the nasty comments. You're like, my goodness, if these people can get their prime minister or their premier or their opposition leader or whoever in opposition or whatever the case may be, one-on-one in a trench or a dark room or a dark area, they will hurt them just by their comments and interaction on social media.
Yeah, I mean, you're so right. I mean, if you can back up, you're right in the first instance that something like this should never happen again in the Caribbean. And the Caribbean community is closely monitoring the situation. Mm-hmm. Regional leaders have extended condolences to the family and the people of Haiti. You know, we have fried ourselves on being politically mature within the region. As you would have said in the past, we disagree, and that was the end of the story. Mm-hmm. You know, here closer to home, I have seen instances where politicians go at each other, and then 4 hours later, they're someplace having a drink, or mm-hmm. they're having lunch, or they're having a cordial conversation. And I think that is because as those politicians understood that, yes, we are fighting for control of governance within our countries, but that doesn't mean that we are trying to divide the nation.
Mm-hmm.
I am yet a young politician, and even before entering politics, one of the things I could not stand, and I still can't stand, and I find it to be very disrespectful, is disrespect towards the leaders of our country. I mean, yes. No matter what your politics is, mm-hmm. you can say what you wish to say, but you don't have to be disrespectful.
Very disrespectful. And you know what? And you know what, Rohan? That disrespect has become so normalized. We normalize that as if it is something great. Yeah. And then you see, laugh at it as if it is something like so good. And we're proud of that. And they make these comments, and they're happy that people can screenshot them or make memes out of them and send around. And the disrespect, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's really unfortunate. Listen, I don't support a lot of the island's leaders' politics and policies.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I would never do, and it's not just him; it's anybody. Because I mean, it's basic things too. Because it demonstrates how you will deal with a normal person. Because if you feel so comfortable in disrespecting the island's leader, or the nation's leader, or anybody in leadership, or anybody at all for party purposes, then it says a lot more about you, the individual, than the person you're trying to get at.
Forgive me, Rohan. Stick a pin right there, please. Forgive me, Rohan. Stick a pin right there, please. Don't forget what you were going to say. I need to take a break. We need to hear from Carl and Sons on St. Martin. I'm pressing hard against the break. Carl and Sons on St. Martin and Affluent Homes, and we'll be right back right after this.
It's been a while that you're thinking or dreaming of your new home. Let Affluent Homes turn that dream into reality. Leave it to us to deliver. A team of architects and designers have created award-winning designs. We will work with you to develop the distinctive look you envision. For real estate development, property sales and management, you must think of Affluent Homes Limited. Check out our website at www.affluenthomesnevis.com or email us merchant@merchantlc.com or call us today at 1-869-665-2121. Affluent Homes Limited.
I'm very hungry.
Whoa, was that your stomach? You need to get on down to Carl & Son's Unique Bakery, your number one spot for sandwiches, pastries, cakes, and more for breakfast and lunch. Are you in a rush? Call in your order at 543-1059 for town and 544-2462 for Cold Bay. Follow their Facebook page to see their daily lunch specials. Carl & Son's, the right choice since 1982.
Mervyn Hanley will inspire. Mervyn Hanley will empower. A voice powerful beyond measure. He will keep us strong under pressure. Touching the hearts and souls of family. You will hear his voice through your tragedy. Television, online, and overseas. Tune in to Mervyn Hanley.
Yes, and we're back. Thank you, Carl & Sons and Affluent Homes on Nevis for the second segment of The Blue Table with Mervyn Hanley. And of course, with me tonight, Rohan Iles. Go ahead, Rohan.
Yeah, I mean, I was just saying, you know, we've got to deal with people respectfully.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to go after our leaders like that, then how are we going to treat ordinary people? I'm not trying to, you know, make this distinction that they are not ordinary, but I think everybody understands what I'm trying to say. When we do that, then we are setting out a very dangerous platform, because you feel that you could, as you say, today is just snide comments.
Mm-hmm.
That people are going to laugh and get on and carry on with. But what is going to happen is that now you're asking people to respond and talk about your leader in the same vein. So now you have two sides being disrespectful, snidish, nasty towards political leaders, And whether we want to believe it or not, and hopefully we see it early, is that that kind of attitude festers into a kind of hate that leads to violence.
Yes.
And when we get to that point of being violent, that is where danger lurks most, because a lot of times when you get angry and you have violent tendencies and violence becomes your norm, a lot of things can happen. And a lot of innocent people can be caught in those kind of things. And so, you know, we encourage people to respectfully share their opinions. You can respectfully disagree with what political leaders are saying. We don't need to have to be nasty about it. I've seen some of the comments you're referring to,
mm-hmm.
and I just shake my head. Because especially here in Nevis, and in St. Kitts and Nevis, I think we have long pride ourselves on being politically mature. Of course, one of our greatest Calypsonians, Captain King Miko Warner, sang a song about how Nevis nice, and you know, St. Kitts and Nevis enjoying the atmosphere of peace and love after elections. And that is true, and that is how we have always been. And I am hoping that in the face of a pending elections, that we can recognize that at the end of the day, Nevis belongs to all of us. And whether we're supporting CCM and RP or whoever comes along, when it is said and done, what we do as a people is set or should reflect the benefit, redounding to the benefit that is of all divisions, and that is the kind of politics we want to prosper going forward.
And finally, what next for Haiti? I mean, what else can they today over lunch? I was there thinking, this nation, they have been through, as you started out by saying, so much. The politics, the natural disasters, the some of the crazy stuff you've heard about there, from there, that has taken place. Then you have the president of the United States, or the former president and whatever he is, Donald Trump, saying that Haiti a shithole country, and they have to deal with the insults and the always looked down on. And now we have this, Rohan, and the people are there, and they're just asking and crying out today. How much more can they take? How much more of this can they take? That's why I admire those people, because they are some strong people, strong men and women, and even the children. Because they have been through in all the nations on earth. I don't think anyone, any country, any territory has been through so much as Haiti. Go ahead.
Haiti is a beautiful place. It is a beautiful country. And like most places with political instability and high rates of poverty, mass media tends to show you the dark side of these countries. But Haiti has a foundational democracy. Yes, Haiti has gone through quite a bit in terms of its political instability and political paralysis. If you go back hundreds of years, you would see people having led Haiti for 31 days and them kind of thing, you know? Haiti needs a stable hand. Haiti needs a hand that its population can say, yes, this person is working in the best interest.
Mm-hmm.
Haiti needs non-corrupted political leaders. Haiti needs the international community to say, listen, part and parcel of this mess is ours, such as the United Nations, who I think would have recognized the error of their ways after the 2010 earthquake. And, you know, you ask some people, they tell you France is to blame. Of course, we know Haiti was a colony of France, and there weren't any repatriations paid, and Haiti and France didn't pay much attention to Haiti thereafter. And people tell you it's France's fault. But there is a golden opportunity as the global development or the global world looks to get past COVID-19 to help to really, really send a strong message to Haiti and to the world that listen, we are brothers and sisters in this, and we can get through it. But Haiti needs changes at the core. It is going to be a long road to redemption for them. Countries in the past have done it. I don't see why Haiti can't do it. For Haiti, as you would have said, it's a difficult day. 10 years after that earthquake yesterday now faced with another trying situation of the assassination of President Jovenel Moïse. We have been leaders in the past who have had Haiti on some stable footing, but for some reason, there are just some very not so nice elements within the environment in Haiti that is seemingly always wanting to cause some mischief here or the other. But, you know, Haiti needs a unifying power.
Yeah,
that is what Haiti requires at the moment, somebody who is going to unify the nation. That is why I think it was a few years back, 10 years back, so many people were calling for Wycliffe Jean to return to Haiti and to bring patients together in a move to bring some political stability within the country. Continue to pray for our brothers and sisters in CARICOM that is over there in Haiti. And we share sympathies and condolences with the family. Death is never an easy thing, and to experience it like this must be truly difficult for those closest to them.
Ja, Rohan Isles, thank you. Thank you for being here tonight at the Blue Table. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Rohan Isles for you, and those at the we just shared with you our thoughts about the situation there in Haiti. Do join us again tomorrow evening for a similar presentation of the Blue Table with Mervyn Hanley. You know what? I feel like hearing or playing for you folks Nevis Nice. Rohan mentioned it earlier, by King Miko. Out of Nevis, of course. So let's end by playing Nevis Nice. Good night.
Everybody talking about their country and how their native land is the best. But never ever let no foreigner fool thee. Some of them island is in a mess. And when they talk about democracy,